Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
From a very young age, I knew I wanted to be famous. Now, I walked down Brentwood High Street in my heeled boots, my full face of makeup, and just crack on and have a great time. But I'm the only gay Muslim reality star. From day one, I walked in out of the Queen's Arrive.
I missed the red carpet.
Sorry, Shane. We haven't missed the red carpet. It's been all day of it.
One of them was like, get this gay boy away from me before I punch his face in. It was hard because I couldn't hide it anymore. That day, that was it. I was out. Six bin bags later. I had no money, no nothing.
You wasn't welcome at your brother's funeral?
No.
Welcome to On The Record with Chloe B, where I invite celebrities on to tell their truth behind the headlines. You can listen every Monday at 6 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. So today I am joined with my fellow TOWIE co-star and best friend, Junaid Ahmed.
Hello. What was in that?
I don't know, you just get a bit nervous.
Chloe, I feel really nervous.
There's no need to be nervous at all.
I'm scared.
Why?
Just speaking about things that I've probably never spoken about before, and even though you are my best friend, there's still the things that I've just never spoken about.
You know what it is as well, though? I do think when you're so close to someone and you spend every day with them, it still doesn't mean that you actually ask them these questions. Yeah. Like, I don't really know that much about your childhood other than things that you've sort of briefly told me. Like, really, when do you really get down to it? Over a porn star? While we're watching Married at First Sight? When am I going to tell me about your childhood? Do you know what I mean?
We love a bit of Married at First Sight.
We really do. There's nothing we love more.
No, do you know what I mean? I 100% think, like, you know, like them questions like, how was your growing up, like, who was your friends back then and all that, like, you don't really have them conversations these days, do you? Unless you grew up together.
Well, no, and I definitely didn't, because you're from Peterborough. That's what people will actually be surprised to know. I think everyone thinks you're from Essex, but you're actually not at all.
No, I've lived in Essex for about 9 years now, but originally I am from a city called Peterborough, which is near Cambridge.
Okay, and what's it like in Peterborough? I've never been.
Not tell very me. Nice.
Why?
There's a passport office.
What?
There's a passport office there, and that's about
right. Is that the town attraction?
That is the town. Do you know what? Peterborough is a very, I think Peterborough as a place is a very like small community, and everyone knows everyone, and everyone talks about everyone. And for me, just being the way I am, just wasn't something that was ever going to be accepted, but also something that you wouldn't see someone like me really walking down the street. Do you know what I mean? Like, I walk down Brentwood High Street, my heeled boots, my full face of makeup, and just crack on and have a great time.
Yeah.
Whereas in Peterborough, it's very different. Like,
okay. Well, it's quite like tame and.
Yeah, like everyone's just. I think people are very stuck in their ways in Peterborough, and it's not like evolved from when I was living there. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so the reason I've invited you on here is because obviously we spend a lot of the time together. I know a lot about you. And I've got to be honest, I do feel like the things that are wrote about you or the way you're portrayed in the press or whether that be on television, you've done multiple shows, I think isn't exactly a true representation of you. So no. I feel like I wanted to bring you on. I've obviously got a few headlines written in my little special book. And I wanted to ask you a few things. But obviously the first thing I wanted to know is a little bit about your childhood and growing up. Obviously without telling us too much about like what happened with your parents and stuff like that, because we will delve into that as well.
Yeah.
But what was your childhood like?
I mean, my childhood, I'd say, was very just very normal. But I wasn't ever able to be who I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. From a very young age, I knew I wanted to be famous.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to be someone.
Yeah, so that was one of my questions as well. So, you know, like going on to television, what was the aim for that? Because a lot of people always ask, like, is it money? Is it fame? What was it for you? Or did you just, you know, as well, we will delve into it a little bit more, but obviously your relationship with your parents and stuff, do you feel like it was a sort of attention thing for going onto TV? What do you think it was?
I think from a very young age, I knew I wanted to be someone famous because growing up, there was no one like me out there. Mm-hmm. And
that's actually an article I've got.
On the Record with Chloe B is exclusively sponsored by the Tooth Club UK. Make sure you check them out as they've got clinics all over Essex, Hertfordshire and Kent. Check them out on Instagram, the Tooth Club UK, and don't forget to mention Chloe10 for an extra discount.
There was a lack of gay and Asian Muslim representation in reality TV. And yeah. You needed positive role models in your teens.
100%.
So obviously, that was an article I see and stuff like that. But growing up for me, I had multiple role models. Yeah. You know, like Cheryl Carr, I'd watch The X Factor. I'd have a different role model every week.
Yeah.
For you, who was someone that you looked up to and thought I could emulate their career? Or did you have nobody?
I didn't have anyone. And even today, up until today, Chloe, I'm the only gay, Muslim, Pakistani reality star mm-hmm. out there. There's no one else like me.
Yeah.
And from a young age, I always knew I was gay. And I always struggled with my sexuality from coming out to a Muslim household, mm-hmm. telling people, like family and friends, that I'm gay.
What were people like in school with you? Because I even remember, like, when I was younger, like, you know, being in school, if there was someone where people might have thought, oh, he's gay, they wasn't necessarily really nice to them, and that's just the truth. And
yeah,
and I'm younger than you, so what was it like being you and being gay? Did people know you was gay? Was it common knowledge, or what?
No.
Was the case?
Yes, when I was in school, I'd never come out. I was just too scared to come out. And at a point in school, I tried to hang around with the boys to try and be like one of the lads.
lads.
Yeah, which was never gonna ever go down well with me. I always knew it. I was always directed more towards the girls. I had more in common with the girls. I wanted to be with the girls. And I always knew I was gay, but I was always too scared to ever come out, just mm-hmm. because I went to quite an Asian populated school, and it was just never something that I knew would ever go down well. Like, I was bullied for being slightly different, slightly camp. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot more camper now.
Do you feel like you sort of had to suppress that quite a lot?
100%. I had to suppress my sexuality, who I really wanted to be, mm-hmm. to my family, to my friends, and to everyone around me, because I couldn't trust anyone.
Yeah.
Like, even my friends, I couldn't really sit there and say to them, like, is it normal that I like boys, or I think I like boys? Do you know what
when
I mean?
When do you think you knew that you liked boys? Like, some people say, like, oh, I knew from the minute I could, like, walk or talk or whatever. Like, when do you think you knew?
I knew when I was about, 9 years old. I used to watch Gareth Gates and S Club on the telly.
Yeah.
And I used to always think, oh, I really fancy Gareth Gates.
Love Gareth
I don't know
Gates.
Why. And I did. And I thought, oh my God, like, I actually really like him. But to a point where I thought, oh, I want to be with him, which is quite weird. But
you
not
didn't
weird.
Want to be Gareth Gates. No, I didn't you wanted to be with
yeah,
Gareth Gates.
And I thought, oh, I really like a handsome man like that.
Yeah.
And Gareth Gates does not know who I am, even probably until today.
He might now.
Who knows? But I think when I was young, about 8 years old, I knew that my feelings towards men were very strong. And a very prominent time in my life was when I was in Toys R Us with my mum,
mm-hmm.
and she picked up an Action Man. I had an absolute fit in Toys R Us. I wanted a Barbie.
Oh really?
Started crying my eyes out.
What
on
did
the
your
floor
mum say?
She was like, no, Action Man. And I was like, I don't want an Action Man, I want Barbie. I want to be Barbie.
Really?
I'd go to my cousin's house when I was younger. My family's very, like, female dominated.
Okay.
So I'd go to my cousin's house, because they'd all be girls. There'd be like five girls there, and I'd have all the Barbie dolls, and I'd want to play with them.
So
and
sweet.
The makeup.
That is so sweet.
But it's sweet now I think about it. But at the time I was very sad. Yeah. Because I just wasn't able to be me. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I feel really
That's
sad.
Really hard. That must be so hard. Like, to feel like you're living a lie and you can't be who you wanted to be.
I think, do you know what the hardest thing is? Like, when you come from a Muslim background, like, you are very, like, it is quite a strict religion. And don't get me wrong, I pray every single day.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask you. So would you still count yourself as a Muslim, even though your sexuality?
100%. Yeah, I pray every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in God. I turn to God for most, like, any whatever emotion I'm feeling, I will turn to God, and I live and breathe my religion. And I think it is such a beautiful religion. Obviously, there is certain parts of it that I don't follow.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still class myself as a modern day Muslim, 100%. And I love my religion. It's helped me through a lot in my life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's something I was born with. And I will continue that. And
I mean, that's your relationship with God. You don't owe that an explanation to anyone about that. Obviously, you said in the media that you feel like there wasn't any representation for you. Do you feel like, since going onto TV or now being like an influencer on Instagram, have you had people reach out to you since?
So many.
Really?
Yeah, so many. Because at the end of the day, I am the standpoint for a lot of, like, young gay men, Asian men, because there is a lack of diversity out there on national TV. So I've had thousands of messages, especially from, like, young, like, guys that are curious about their sexuality, like mums that have, like, gay sons and stuff like that. It's actually really, it does break my heart at some of the messages that I do get. And, like, the help that they want because they don't know what to do and how to help their son and child.
It's so hard. Like, obviously, I'm around you a lot. I've got so many gay friends. I feel like I'm around so many gays. It's unbelievable.
Your wedding would be you and five gays.
Me and five gays. I won't have bridesmaids. We'll just have gay boys.
We love that, though.
But I just feel like with me, I'm the most accepting person in the world. And I just can't imagine that some people really aren't. At all. I find that crazy.
I'd still say, even today, being out there as a public figure, being openly gay, I'd say the abuse I get a lot now is because of being gay.
Really? So I've got another article here, actually, that I picked up about, which I found quite shocking. So you basically said that you was left shaken after a homophobic attack.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because I just find that crazy. Like, even like the other day, me and you went out on a night out and we bumped into this really lovely like mother and daughter, didn't we?
And there
was like a group of boys, and the mum actually, I don't know if you heard, but she actually said to me, oh, if any of them start on him, I would go crazy. Yeah. And I just, it's weird because like in my mind, it's not something I assume is going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm so used to you
and the people
we surround ourselves with are so lovely and so accepting of you and the way you are and your sexuality.
Yeah.
That it's just not in my nature to assume that you would be sort of attacked for who you are.
Yeah, no, that article was definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a year ago now, really. And it was just going into a bar, which we was in on the weekend.
Yeah.
We go there all the time, enjoy myself there. And at this one point, I was with Danny, and there's a group about 20 like middle-aged men, I'd say, about in their 40s.
Yeah.
Walked in, obviously noticed me, asked for pictures, being so lovely at first.
I've got to say, people do really notice you, Junaid. Like, when I go out sometimes, like, I do get people stopping me for pictures and stuff. Yeah. But I've got to be honest, I do feel like sometimes I can go a little bit unnoticed because like, I'm quite short and I can just sort of whisper. Whereas you are just so big and striking, 6'4" in them heels, strolling through. No wonder how many people ask you for pictures.
All the time, everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Even in my local like, B&M and Home Bargains, I get people stopping me, asking me for pictures. You saw it today.
Okay.
Do you know what? It is what it is, but I love it. I do really like it.
But and this time it was a negative.
This time was very, very different. Yeah. I mean, at first it started off quite nice. Mm-hmm. A few of them asked me for pictures. Their wives loved me. Their girlfriends liked me. So yeah, it was quite nice. And then it got to a point where obviously they were quite intoxicated. They were very drunk at the time.
Mm.
And I was like talking to them as they were asking me to come over for pictures. And one of them was like, get this gay boy away from me before I punch his face in.
Are you joking?
And I was like, you know, at the time I thought, Is this actually happening right now?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And Danny heard the comment as well. And she was like, what was that? And he was like shouting, get him away from me before I knock. I think his words were, get him away from me before I smash his jaw. And I was like,
sorry, that is just so crazy.
What is actually going on? So at that point, I was very scared. So I walked away more towards the bar.
Mm.
And then they started shouting and hurling abuse at me in the middle of the Mayfair bar. And I was like, what is actually going on
here?
Did
anyone like step in or anything?
Well, at that point, I don't know what happened, but I was like, who are you shouting at?
Yeah.
Like, who are you actually shouting at? Like, I'm not standing here getting abused by like 40-year-old men. There's about 20 of you, like little old me's on my own, little old me, my 6'4" heels.
Yeah,
just standing there like, what is actually going on? And then obviously the staff that know me, because I come there all the time. I go there quite often. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The staff then got involved. They was like, no, we'll get rid of them. I was like, no, do you know what? At this point, I feel really scared and I feel really vulnerable. And I've not been in a situation like that in a very, very long time, to the point that I'm feared for my safety.
So what other scenarios have you been in where you felt like that? Would that go back to school, do you think?
Yeah, it'd be back when I was at school. Like, when I was at school, I was bullied really bad and to the point where I had my nose broken on a few occasions, beaten up going home from school, just because people just didn't get me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's quite sad because
it's terrible.
Like, I feel now disgusting. Still people don't get me.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard, and that's why I really wanted you on here, because I feel like you, there is so many layers to you. Like, yeah. I think people, I always use the quote, like, people often assume that we're apples and we're one-sided. Like, and what they see is that, you know, for example, people may see me and see this bitchy persona. And yeah. People see you and see this absolute diva, I've got to be honest. But in retrospect, like, we are literally such onions. Like, there are so many layers to you, Junaid, and yeah. So many things that have made you the way you are today. And I don't 100%. Think people know that. And
yeah.
I think, obviously, this is why I'm here to talk about it, which yeah. I'm excited for, you know. So they just didn't understand you, and
not
you,
at all.
You were subject to quite a lot of attacks. What did your parents think about that? Because obviously, if I come home and said to my mum, oh my god, I've just been attacked, the first thing, like, question she'd ask is why, you know. Did they ever question why?
I'll always remember, and it was one of my passport pictures where I've got a black eye and a bruised lip.
That's disgusting.
And it was after school, I got attacked by this boy and his mates, and I went home and my dad was like, what's happened? And I was like, oh, I fell over walking home. I was on my phone, didn't even look. You know, it's times like that I really look back at and think, I was just so scared.
Was you scared of telling them?
Yeah, like, I was just scared. I was scared of, like, telling them. I was also scared, like, what could happen if I did say anything? Do you know what I mean? Like having that mentality, like, if I told them who it was and who attacked me, and if that turned into, like, a bigger thing, like, would I be the one that, like, suffers the consequences for that more and more? Or do I just shut up and not say anything?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
And that's what people that bully you do. They make you to the point where you're so scared that you don't want to do anything. I think this is disgusting.
Yeah. I always remember that passport picture. I look at that picture and I thought,
that's so sad. Like,
I look back, you know what, Claire, it's really weird. Like, I'm 27 now.
Yeah.
And I've been through so much in my life. And I look back at my life now and think, what a lost little boy I was.
Yeah, and I think it's hard as well, like, especially considering, like, my mum is the person that I lean on the most, like, yeah. throughout everything. And you see, me and my mum argue more than anyone in the world.
Oh, I love
because we are the same person, yeah. basically. But I lean on my mum so much. And yeah. I think, like, because you didn't really have that sort of to lean on.
Yeah.
And, or even if you did, you wasn't being your true authentic yeah. self when you was. I think that can really affect somebody.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when I look at you, like, I honestly can't get my head around how strong you are as a person. You are so strong, Junaid. Like, it's,
I try to be.
You are. And I think as well, like, the way you behave, like, or the representation that you get in the media and on, like, shows that you've done is really a defence mechanism.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
It really is. Like, there's another article that I've got to question you about, which I think was a perfect, perfect example of that. TOWIE newcomer Junaid lives and breathes drama and admits he will ruffle feathers. So, how do you feel about that? Because obviously, like, you know, we're here talking about headlines and stuff, but yeah. let's be honest, every headline that's ever wrote about us stems from some form of truth, whether that be yeah. elaborated or not.
Yeah.
And obviously, the reason why I invite people on here is just to elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, so yeah,
obviously, you was new on to TOWIE at this yeah. point. You was excited about going on to yeah, TOWIE. Yeah. I've known you forever. And obviously,
yeah.
being on the show is exciting. It has its yeah, ups yeah. and downs, but it's an amazing thing to do. And I think that, you know, I very easily fell into that villain role.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And obviously, I saw you falling into that villain role.
Yeah.
So much so that me and you even fell out
yeah,
when I
yeah, yeah,
tried
yeah,
to give
yeah.
you advice on it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that is a defence mechanism for you because of your childhood?
100%. Yeah. I feel like I always need to put up this, like, guard.
Yeah.
So people can't break me down, because behind everything, there's a very hurt little boy there. And I still stand by that today. I still think I'm very hurt inside with a lot of things that I've been through. But I put up this 6 layers of foundation, this boss bitch, this deeper attitude to cover and mask all the hurt that I've been through.
Oh, I saw that completely. I think that's even why, like, really, you know, when we had that standoff with each other, yeah. it wasn't necessarily one of my, like, most vicious arguments I've ever
yeah,
had, because
yeah.
I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah,
if anything,
yeah,
I wanted you to see where you was going wrong, maybe,
yeah,
you know. And
definitely.
Oh my god, I can talk, there's been so many things that I've done where yeah. I sit there and think, what have I done that for? Why
yeah.
have I even said that, you
yeah.
know? And I think that it is really a defense mechanism,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like, more so, like, you know, me, when I feel backed into a corner, I lash out.
Yeah,
and I
of course.
Feel like, for you do so because of the hurt that you felt when you was younger.
Yeah, I think as well, the fact of being on TV was something I always wanted.
Oh my god,
so
yeah.
So anything TV I did, I always wanted to stand out, and
yeah,
I always wanted to go in there to get the most kind of spoken about, to get my place on the show and whatnot, because I didn't want to be someone that's kind of like just being like quite placid and boring.
Yeah, of course. And I feel like the villain are always the ones that remember the
exactly
most,
yeah
you know?
Yeah, so I just went in there and just went all kind of guns blazing, as yeah. as we saw. But
so you've
know
done
what?
Other shows, haven't you?
Yeah, obviously.
You didn't really tell me much about the other show you've done. Was it Summer High?
Love Struck High on Amazon Prime.
Summer High. Love Struck High.
Yeah.
So you was very much the villain in that as well. I see clips, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
You did come in as the villain.
Oh, yeah. From day one, I walked in, I was like, the Queen's arrived.
Yeah.
Swishing my blazer around, didn't know who these people were.
Yeah.
Living with them for 3 months.
Yeah.
Walked in there, thought, I'm the Queen of the school. None of you lot are.
Do you
rowing constantly with everyone?
I've got a question for you. Do you ever find that villain role quite hard to maintain?
Yeah.
Because I do.
Yeah.
I think that there was once a cast member, I remember we went away for filming and a cast member looked across the table about me and they went, she's really going to struggle to maintain the way she's behaving.
Really?
And at first I thought, well, we don't know what he's talking about. And now, honestly, what he said was completely right.
Yeah. I can sit there and say now as well in my life, I've definitely done the villain long enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's me to a very point.
Oh my God, 100%.
But it's not me walking down. I don't walk around Chigwell screaming and shouting at people.
Of course. You know, when we're on shows, be that anyone, I've done a few, you've done a few now.
Yeah.
I think it's really easy to sort of show one angle of yourself because you know, they're recording us for half hour a day
or
however long. You know, unless you really are in a fixed rig environment, it's really hard to show every angle of yourself.
100%, yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's so easy to fall into that villain role. Do you feel like now you still do get trolled for that? Or do you feel like things have changed towards you a little bit? Or what do you think?
It's a difficult one because I get trolled really bad. Like a lot.
You do get trolled. Like
day
I post a photo with you and people comment on my pictures. Like, I've got to be honest. Like, we know it. I tell you about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is, yeah. I don't know why I'm a subject to a lot of trolling. And obviously sometimes my behaviour doesn't help and sometimes the things that I say don't help. Mm-hmm. But I think for me it's like, it is what it is. I didn't expect it to the amount that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I'm out and about, I get so much love. Do you know what I mean?
You do. And you always get people saying really lovely things to you.
So I think it's like, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Like, you take the good with the bad. But I think I really like, I'll be honest, Chloe, I really want to be an inspiration to people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I really want people to look up to me and be like, Janae's done it. Janae, and what everything that Janae's been through, he stands on his own 2 feet, he's strong, and he's got his life together. And that's all I really want to be for other people now. I think I've played the victim, I've played the villain for a very long time. And I think there's a villain side in me, but I'm also a very lovely boy.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, sometimes you want to do the villain. And I look at you and I think, Janae,
rein
in. Like, do you know what I mean? But I think that at the time, like, it's so easy to just be like, yeah, I think this and that.
Yeah.
And I look at that, honestly, like, I really do see so much of myself in you. And that's why I think, like, when people ask me, like, even my best friend, Summer, like, she was around mine and she went to me, what's he like then? And I went, oh, he's lovely, you know? And
everyone,
I just think it's like,
that.
It's so easy to fall into that sort of pattern where people watch you and then they, you know, assume how you're going to be. And then you start believing that about yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that's a really easy thing to do as well, actually,
is
to start believing that about yourself. Like,
yeah.
I feel like when I done other shows, like Celebs Go Dating, for example, I just remember Paul going to me like, Chloe, just be yourself, you're lovely.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one wants to see that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what you think, don't you?
Do you feel
crazy.
Like you have that sort of inner conflict with yourself still?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no one wants to see the nice side. They just want to see you, like, you go crazy and whatnot. But then you can't keep it up for so long.
No,
do you know what
can't.
I mean? It's fun at first and you're like, oh, I don't care. But then you're like, actually, do you know what? I'm actually not that bad.
No.
Like,
you're
actually,
really not at all.
I have got more of a dual side to me, but then it stems back to everything that I've been through.
On the Record with Chloe B is exclusively sponsored by the Tooth Club UK. Make sure you check them out as they've got clinics all over Essex, Hertfordshire and Kent. Check them out on Instagram, the Tooth Club UK, and don't forget to mention Chloe 10 for an extra discount.
So another question that I have for you is, this is probably one of the hardest ones, but I really wanted to ask you because I do think that a lot of your behaviour and the way you are and even how strong you are as a person stems from this. So an article that I picked out here was, how is Janae's parents kicking him out for being gay made him a stronger person?
Yeah.
Do you think that it did make you a stronger person then?
I don't know, to be honest. I think in some aspects, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of aspects as well, it's made me really, like, feel lonely.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm getting so upset.
Oh, Janae. Bless you.
I don't know, it's just...
You can cry and get upset. You're allowed to cry. It's such a hard subject to talk about, but I really wanted to. Like, because obviously, I don't know much about it. Like, obviously, since we've sort of been really close again,
you
told me brief things about your family life and stuff. I've got to be honest with you, like when we was friends when I was 18, I had no idea about your family. I just was under the assumption you didn't speak at all.
So can
you tell us about that whole situation?
Yeah. So like growing up, like me and my mum were like best friends. Mm-hmm. Like we were so close. And I think what's hard is when you ask like it would always be me and my mum.
Okay.
My mum had me at a young age, mm-hmm. like she was what, 17, 18 so when
you've
she
got,
had me.
You've got brothers. What is the ranking of your, where are you in age?
So my mum had my elder brother at 16.
Okay.
She had me at 18. Okay. And then I've got two younger brothers and a little sister.
Okay.
That's the family dynamic. Growing up, it was always me, my elder brother and my mum.
Mm-hmm.
That we was always together. And me and my mum were very similar. My elder brother was very much like my dad. So we had a really nice family unit growing up. Obviously, the whole kind of like makeup, being gay and like confused about my sexuality was never a topic of conversation. It was always something that I kind of suppressed and kept to the side because I never wanted to upset them, because growing up I was always told being gay is wrong.
Okay.
In our religion you can't be gay.
Yeah.
This isn't allowed. And like me and my mum would have like private conversations, and she would try to be like my best friend but also very confused in herself because she didn't know too much about it.
Okay.
All she'd done is follow her faith her whole life. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
And then 18, I come out because it comes to the point where I couldn't really hide it anymore.
Okay.
So I just
was you dating someone?
No, it wasn't. It was a difficult one because I'd experienced stuff with other guys, and it was just kind of like, I can't live this lie anymore.
No, and I don't blame you. I couldn't do it. How could you live a lie? Imagine, you know, I'll start texting a boy, and if you don't post on his social media in a week, I'll kick off.
Yeah.
So imagine hiding who you are completely, you know?
I told my older brother before I told my family.
Okay, and how was he with that?
He was like, listen, do your thing, but just keep it on the quiet. Don't be too obvious about it.
Okay.
And don't everyone find out. So he was the one person that knew and kind of supported me with it.
Okay.
Obviously, me being me, big mouth that I am, couldn't really keep it in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up telling my parents, and I just, sat down
with my mum and dad. Do you remember where you was and how it happened?
I sat down with my mum and dad in my living room at the time, in the house that we were at. And I just had to tell them, I was just like, I'm gay.
Okay.
And then I just remember looking at my mum and just, like, it's a really weird thing, but I just felt like her whole world come crashing down.
Oh, tonight, people
when I told her. Ish. Because we were so close, I just, the way she looked at me was as if, like, I just wish you kept this a secret.
Yeah.
Because, like, why would you ruin your life for this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is true, like, I didn't ruin my whole life.
You haven't ruined your life in any way, do you know? You've got an amazing life.
It was hard because I couldn't hide it anymore. And I had to do what was right for me at the time.
Yeah.
So I had to tell her, but it just meant me telling her was the fact that I'd lose my whole relationship.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Did you know that was going to happen?
I don't know. Secretly, I thought it wouldn't be the case. And I think she would kind of just secretly try to speak to me, but it wasn't. And I think what was hard was I had to leave Peterborough at the time.
What did your dad say when you told him?
He was like, get out.
Are you joking?
He was like, get out, I can't have a gay son. This isn't something I can accept.
That's ridiculous. I just find that absolutely crazy. I just can't believe it.
I think like that, at the time, I didn't understand where that would kind of lead me to, but...
And what happened that day?
That day, that was it. I was out. 6 bin bags later. Had no money, no nothing. I rang my friend who lived in Essex at the time. And I just said to her, I was like, listen, this is the situation. I can't stay in Peterborough. I can't do anything here. I need to get away. I need to go. So I went to Essex. And that was when my journey to Essex kind of started. And that was it. I had no relationship with my family. But a year later, after I had no communication with my family at all, moved to Essex, getting my life back on track, like sofa surfing from friend to friend to friend, because I had no money, no nothing, didn't know what I was doing. I had a message from someone that I went to school with. And she was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but your brother's passed away.
Do you know, that's terrible.
And it was like, at the time, I just thought...
But your family didn't tell you?
No. And it was like, at the time, I just don't know where I've gone so wrong in my life. Like, I've come out as gay. I've lost my family. I've lost everything. I've moved to a brand new area. And then a year later, my brother's passed away as well. And it's like, how can someone actually handle all this? Do you know what I mean?
It's a lot on top of everything.
And it's like, people don't get it because they're like, we don't understand why you are the way you are. And it's like, please just live a day in my life and what I've been through and see how difficult it is, because it was never easy.
So what happened, obviously, once you found out about your brother's passing? Did you reach out to your family or not?
So I went back home then, obviously, to see what was going on, to go to the funeral and whatnot. And I was not welcome at all.
You wasn't welcome at your brother's funeral?
No.
So I just feel like your life has constantly been like rejection and abandonment.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so sad. It's such a sad thing to hear what you've gone through, and it's terrible, Junaid. But I think that you are such an inspiration for the things that you've gone through. Like, you should be so like proud of yourself and where you've put yourself, and how, you know, you had this vision of what you wanted to be and what you wanted to achieve, and what you've done is absolutely amazing.
The only thing in my head I had at the time was, you either sink or you swim, Junaid.
Yeah, you go into fight or flight mode. Yeah,
and you either fight and make them proud and show them what they're missing, or you literally crumble. Mm. And in my head, I thought, do you know what? I ain't crumbling for no one, because my story will be heard one day, and I will help absolute millions of people from what I've been through to be standing on my own two feet. And I can sit there and tell you right now, Chloe, I'm 27 years of age. I've got my own place. I'm very happy in my life. And I've worked so hard to get to where I am today.
I don't know anyone who works as hard as you. I've got to be honest with you. You've got so many other like businesses that you do.
Yeah.
And you're constantly working, and you were successful as a job at a bank, and you was a manager at a bank. And, you know, now you're on Towie and you've done these other shows. You have honestly been, you're so inspirational in so many ways. Mm. And I think that the way that people treat you on social media or even in the media is such a false representation of you. It's unbelievable. What would you say to, say, a mum or a dad or parents that are struggling to come to terms with their child's sexuality? You know, their child's just come out to them.
Yeah.
And you, in that moment, can say to them how you think they should react. What would you do? What advice would you give to them?
I would tell them to literally spend 24/7 with their son or daughter, whoever they are, that's just come out. Be their best friend. Be their shoulder to cry on. Let them know, like, they may think the world's against them, but let them know that it's not.
Mm.
And their closest knit of family and friends around them love them for who they are, regardless of whatever sexuality they are. They are just loved.
Yeah.
And they have got support, and they're not on their own.
Mm.
Because I think when you are gay, you do always feel like you're on your own. No one gets you.
Mm.
And the best bit of advice is, let them know you understand what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Even if you don't,
yeah,
take the time for them, love them, care for them, support them, speak to them, and be their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one bit of advice I could give my mum now, is be my best friend.
Yeah.
And just understand me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, get to know why I think the way I think. Sorry.
You're making me really sad. Bless you, you're making me so sad.
It's just sad because, like, my relationship with my family is so up and down now.
So, yeah, so has it healed since your relationship at all? Obviously, you moved to Essex, you're very successful now.
Yeah.
How do you feel like your relationship is now with them?
Like, I'll be honest, like, we did speak about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and we did semi-patch things up, but today we're not speaking at all.
Really? And do you think that's just because they won't ever fully accept you, so you find it hard?
I think it's something, listen, we agree to disagree. They don't accept me, and they will never accept me for who I am, and I will never change who I am as a person. This isn't something of choice. I definitely believe that you are either born gay or not.
100%.
And I don't choose to be this way. This is this is my life, this is who
I am.
But
the thing is as well, you choose to wear your makeup, you choose to dress how you are because you look amazing. Everyone can choose to be whoever they want, you know? Everyone, that is our human right to be exactly who we want.
Yeah.
And who should we, and who are these people to sit there and judge us for what we are and what we do? This is your life. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Regardless of family, friends. Listen, in my life, I haven't got a big family. I personally believe we make our family. Our friends are our family, our best friends. And, you know, I just think that, you know, maybe you wasn't exactly born into a family that accepts you, and that's absolutely terrible, but you've inherited so many people that accept you for who you are.
And I think that's the thing. I think there's things, this is the real truth behind all the headlines. This is my truth that no one knows about and I don't ever speak about. And it's, I think people, when they know the truth and when they actually find out things, they're like, wow. Like, obviously close people around me know the truth, but when people listening hear this and they think, you'd never think that, because I give off such confidence. And
oh,
I'm
my
like,
God, I feel
I
like the
this
most
attitude.
People that give off the most confidence are normally the most hurt people in the world. And I think the quote, hurt people hurt people, is a really true quote. I remember someone said it to me so many years ago, and I thought, I'm not hurt. I was hurt by so many things. And I think that that is you as well.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
I wouldn't say you're necessarily still hurting every day,
but I wouldn't say
you're still not 100% healed.
No.
And I think that, you know, by you opening up and talking about this journey, do you think that there's things that you could do that would heal yourself? Like, is there certain things that you have in place that you'd like to do?
Yeah, like over the years, like I've had therapy and just a way of lifestyle for myself, like being fit, going to the gym, spending my time around people that love me, being accepted, and just doing things that genuinely make me happy and living my life. I love working. I love being busy. Do you know what I mean? It's things like that make me happy. And I think that's what it is. I think I'm at a stage now where I'm so grateful for my life, and I'm grateful for the obstacles, the hurdles that I've been through, because it has shaped me into the person that I am.
How different do you think your life would be if your parents that day, when you sat down and told them you were gay, give you a hug and said, okay, amazing. How different do you think your life would be now?
I don't think I would be as strong and be the individual that I am, because I had to go through losing them to find the real Junaid. And I don't think I would know who the real Junaid is if I didn't go through that.
Yeah.
I can sit there and say I'm very comfortable with who I am. I love who I am as a person. I love being flamboyant, glamorous, and being out there, because that's what makes me happy.
Do you think that flamboyancy has sort of grown over time as
100%.
Well?
Yeah. It's been all experimental things, like being suppressed for so many years, 18 years, being suppressed for 18 years of my life. I'm now like in the 9 years of being on my own. I'm like, oh my God, this is who I am. This is what I like to do. Like, I like wearing certain things. I like wearing heeled boots.
Yeah, even
like
when I first met you, you wear more makeup now than when I first met you.
100%. Yeah. I feel like I've evolved in the 9 years, and I'd say the real Junaid's born and lived for 9 years. The last 18 years.
You've been
but very different. Yeah, but I'm very happy.
So obviously the first show that you did actually wasn't Love Struck High. It was, what was it called?
Obsessed with My Body on Channel 4.
Of course it was. So an article I've got here says, Selfie King, who enjoys weekly blow dries and eyebrow waxes, admits he is obsessed with grooming after he was bullied for being too good looking.
I mean,
so how did that come about?
I mean, it's definitely not true.
No.
Because I don't have weekly blow dries. There's not much hair to
You've
blow dry.
You've not got much hair to blow dry. I mean, I get the weekly blow dries.
Yeah.
You do have your eyebrows waxed, but I'd say that's sort of normal.
I mean, I have my eyebrows threaded every 3 weeks and my hair cut every 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean? But that was a really fabricated story. But that is the true 18-year-old Junaid.
Okay.
Wanting attention, wanting to be out there, and doing whatever it kind of took to kind of get my face and be seen and be heard.
Yeah, I remember. You know what? I remember when I first met you, actually, you'd go to every event, you'd do everything, you know? You still love an event now.
Still love an event now.
It's quite funny, actually. I've got a funny story. I was a bit late for Fort Park the other day. And Junaid...
Weird fallout.
You had a fallout. Junaid didn't speak to me the whole way. They went, I missed the red carpet. I said, sorry, Junaid. We haven't missed the red carpet, actually. It's an all-day event.
Yeah, do you know what? I think when I was young, I was so, like, hungry and wanting to, like, be seen, be here, be everywhere. Just, I think, do you know what? That was a mask of me trying to be accepted from everyone that didn't really know me in my life.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to the fact that I was very, like, wanting to be famous, and I would do anything it took
But I feel like with fame as well, like in even in our minds, like yeah, we're not A-listers or whatever, but when you walk down the street and you get recognised, or when you get a nice message on social media, I feel like it really lifts you up. And
yeah,
I feel like
100%.
Especially if you're in a place where you're lonely,
yeah,
I feel like that can be so comforting for somebody. And I feel like people don't see that. Do you know what I mean? Or the other side of why you may be craving that attention.
Yeah. But I think back then I wasn't who I am today, and I wasn't being authentically me. I think the last few years I've genuinely just been myself 100%, and I think back then I always thought I'd be someone that other people wanted me to be, because that's what would that would make me liked. But I think now what I'd say to people is definitely just be yourself. Don't try and be anyone you're not.
Yeah,
what makes you happy and what you are, your weird quirks or whatever you think's different, that is who you are as a person, and that's what makes you the person that you are. So just always be true to yourself. I would go into TV like auditions and stuff like that and think I'd need to be this type of person and play the stereotype. You don't.
No.
You really don't.
When do you feel like you really settled into yourself?
25. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Just got my flat, moved into my flat. Very content and happy with my life 2 years ago. Started on TV.
If there's anything you could change about your life now, what would it be? Is there anything in your life that makes you unhappy now?
I'd love a relationship with my family. Really? I would. Yeah.
What about a relationship like a boyfriend?
Oh my God.
Would you or not?
Where do I start?
You'd love that.
I don't know.
I think you'd love that.
I'd love a relationship. I would. I think I'm older and wiser. And I'm so content and comfortable with who I am.
Your problem is, Junaid is very attractive to straight men.
Oh.
And that is the problem. And you know what, actually though, I actually say this to my friend as well, who also dates straight men and he's gay. I actually feel like that's a form of self-sabotage as well, to be
100%.
Honest with you, because like I've noticed it, like you essentially date these people that you know are never going to parade you around because they're in the closet. And I feel like that is a form of not thinking you're good enough.
Yeah, I'm on the path to now being accepted by everyone.
Yeah, accepted by yourself, your family. And hopefully we find you a nice boyfriend one day.
If there's any sexy boys listening.
Any sexy boys.
Sexy boys.
Any sexy gay boys, not straight boys, for my lovely friend Janae. That would be amazing.
Please send me a message. DMs are open. So this has been a moment.
I know. My last question that I have for you, I've got two actually. If you could say one thing to the people that troll you daily on social media, what would it be?
Give it a break. Please.
Please leave me alone.
Just please leave me alone. No, but on a serious note, just think before you message. Words really do hurt, and even though we put ourselves out there on a public platform, people say we put ourselves on a public platform, so you get used to messages to people that dislike you or like you. Listen, I get everyone's got their opinion, but just think about the things that you say, because social media can be such a nasty place at times. So as much as it's at work at times, it can also be quite nasty. So just think before you speak.
Yeah, of course.
Be nice. Be kind.
And also, what would you say about the people that write headlines about you that aren't necessarily true?
Oh, get your facts right, journalists. Do your research. Listen, I love my journal friends.
I really do as well. And I feel like when I made this podcast, I feel like a lot of people was like, oh my God, is she coming on here to absolutely bash the press? And that isn't the case at all, actually. I feel like our jobs and the press come hand in hand together. But I feel like, you know, the journalists that are really only just doing their job, they need a catchy headline. 100%. They need something that's going to pull people in.
Yeah.
And they also only have a limited amount of words they can write something with. And what I wanted to do on this podcast is to give people an insight into, you know, a bit of the backstory behind the catchy headlines that you see.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to be honest, I've read some about me that are completely ludicrous, and I've read some that I've got a lot of truth to, you know, like the ones you spoke about today.
Yeah.
And I feel like the ones we've picked up on, some of them I thought I'm not even going to humour, but the ones we picked up on today I think are amazing, because I think it just really shows an insight into yourself. So
100%.
Thank you so much for coming on.
I'm honestly
so grateful. I'm so glad you've opened up, and I just really hope that the people listening get to see a side of my lovely friend that I get to see every day.
It's been like a really enjoyable therapy session.
I feel like I'm a therapist.
I know, I'm here for it. You'd be a great therapist. You can invoice me later.
So that has been On The Record with Chloe B. Thank you to the Tooth Club UK for sponsoring this episode of On The Record with Chloe B. With thanks to Blank Box Studio for their amazing podcast space. Please comment underneath who you would like to be our next guest, and make sure you catch our next episode on Apple Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Spotify and YouTube.